You know, we have been talking about the Lord Jesus. You mentioned on Sunday, was he worthy of our worship? Is he worthy of our worship? You know, much in the Christian life is really focused on Jesus. You know, I can't believe it. Can you believe this? I was eighth grade in Presbyterian Church, going through catechism, and Easter Sunday, the pastor asked me to play a trumpet solo. You know what I played? Java. I didn't have a clue. I am so embarrassed to think. I did not have a clue. I mean, I was as secular as you could imagine. I didn't know. Had no idea that you should play a Christian song. Well, it was a pretty, pretty big trumpet solo going on at that time in the world. And that's what I played on Easter Sunday. You know, the Lord wasn't in my thoughts at all. Not at all. I didn't know anything about the Lord. I mean, I didn't even have common sense when it comes to spiritual things. Nothing. But you know, when you get saved, the Bible says he's put a new song in our hearts. And immediately, your focus becomes Jesus. Your focus becomes Jesus. And by that time in my life, oh man, I could only play the radio. I'd given up on the trumpet after eighth grade. And didn't have any music in my life, just loud saws and hammers, and was tone deaf. But I got saved. And I wanted to worship God. I wanted to worship Jesus. He was everything to me. No, I think that's normal. I think it's very, very normal. In fact, that's what the Bible says. I think to not be that way would be very abnormal, if not questionable, if there's anything real happened. You know, is Jesus worthy of our worship? Well, how should we worship him? How should we worship him? And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about music and Jesus. A little bit about music and Jesus tonight. And I want us to think about this a little bit. And I'm going to be real out front, because a lot of our young people have this attitude that it really doesn't matter how you play, if you play well or if you don't play, if you try to do your best or you don't, if you practice or you don't. And don't worry about it. You know what? If it comes out bad, no problem. I want to show you from the Bible that that's really not only unbiblical, but it's very unchristian. Now, you know, I didn't have a music background. And so if you don't have a music background, you have the same background I did. But when you get saved, that gets changed. You realize that God made music to worship Jesus. And we worship Jesus with excellence, not our leftovers. Not our leftovers. So we're going to look at a few things in the Bible tonight when we think about this. Let's go to Psalm 33. We're going to have to be really fast with this, but hopefully we can put it together. Psalm 33 and verse 3. It says, sing unto him a new song. Wow. A new song. A song from your heart, from your soul. That's what that song is. Man, I couldn't play a trumpet solo to the Lord. I didn't know him. I didn't know him. It says, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. Now, that's an important word. Play skillfully. It really has to do, it could be translated, play well. It has the idea of a beautiful sound. Now, you know what a beautiful sound is? Everybody's hitting the note. They practiced to hit the note. You know, sometimes it takes practice to hit the note. Now, this is just illustration, but you know, I was tone deaf. I was called to preach. I was going to be a church planter. I knew I'd probably have to lead songs, and I couldn't sing. I thought I could sing, but Mr. Scoville asked me to join the choir to take audition for the choir. And he said, sing such and such. And I says, I don't know what that is. I didn't know any Christian hymns. And I don't know what I sang. In 5 seconds, he says, okay, that's enough. I was really bad. But you know, we had voice lessons. They had voice lessons at Maranatha. I said, oh, there's a solution to my problem. Voice lessons. If you know anything about college voice lessons, this is a joke. I says, voice lessons, ha-ha! Now I'm going to learn how to sing. So I signed up for voice lessons. Mr. Scoville, we're signing up for these classes, and I have the card there for that class. I sign up, and he says, you don't understand. No, you don't sign up for that class. You don't understand. I says, I do understand. I need to learn how to sing, and I'm going to voice class. And there's another fellow just like me. His name was Tom Ekman. He couldn't carry a note either. And he signed up for the same class. And we go to the first class, and all these 30, 40 guys standing in a line, and says, do the scale. Oh, man. I couldn't hit one note, one less to scale. And Tom Ekman was right next to me, and we both did whatever we did, you know. I mean, I was probably redder than a fire truck, you know. And Mr. Scoville said, "We can handle this. We can handle this." Well, what I did was 5, 6, 7 hours a week, I went to the practice room. I'd hit a note, one note at a time. I'd try to match it with my voice. 5, 6 hours a week. And I licked it. Now, if I have to sit next to sing somebody, I used to sing in a choir, but I only could stand next to someone who sang my part. Because if I stood someone who sang another part, they'd throw me off, and I couldn't sing anything. But anyway, Bible, when Mr. Scoville asked me to sing in a choir, he said, "That's okay." You know why? Because it would have been terrible. It would have ruined the choir. They'd hear, "Ah!" You know? That's what they'd hear. "Ah!" That's all they would hear. I'd ruin the whole thing. Well, you know, it says there that we play skillfully. That means we have mastered the music so it sounds beautiful. They asked about David's playing the harp. He said that he played well. He played beautifully. Now, the Bible is telling us, we have a beautiful God. Do you think he's beautiful? I think he's beautiful. I think he is more beautiful than we can comprehend. You know, I was in the Holy Land, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, we were at Bethlehem, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir was making a recording. And so we were on the hillside in Bethlehem, and the other side of the hillside was the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and they were singing. We didn't know who it was, I guess, whatever, but you heard this beautiful sound. You know, great Christmas hymn or whatever, not saying that they're saved, but you heard this beautiful, and you said, "Man, this is just like heaven. This is like heaven." Now you think about our God. Is our God worthy of that kind of work? Is our God worthy of that kind of practice? Is our God worthy of that kind of worship? Yes, he is. To do anything less than our best and what is right is a wrong attitude about God. The problem is our God. That's the issue. Our God. We're learning to worship our God. This is serious. You know, when laziness is so dominant that worshiping our God takes 10th place, that is a terrible sin. That's a terrible sin. It's not bad, it's terrible. It had that much dominance. And you know, I'm not against sports, but you know what? Some people will play hours and hours on hand just to put a ball through a hole. accomplish nothing for eternity. But if we're saved, we have the opportunity to glorify our God. Now here's a great verse in the Bible, Colossians chapter 3. I think you got the point I'm trying to make tonight. But I think that really, that I'm not touching on any new ground here. This is just as obvious, you know, as 1 plus 1. Colossians 3, verse 23. We know the verse, but it's talking about slaves. It's talking about slaves. Servants. And sometimes we minimize that word servant. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Now we sing unto the Lord. Right? We sing unto the Lord. We play unto the Lord. We're serving God. Now it says a slave. Now when you do your job as a slave, it says do it heartily. You know that word heartily is from the soul. From the soul. It's coming right down from our inner being. And we are worshiping our God. We are serving our God in our work, anything we do. How much more so when we're worshiping Him? Amen? How much more so when we are learning to worship Him? I was thinking about the men who made the tabernacle and the garments that we're going to be in the worship of God. And of course you know the passage, but a couple of verses, Exodus 28, verse 3. And it says, talking about those, verse 2, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. Oh wow. These garments were going to reflect the glory and beauty of God. Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. And Aaron is the high priest. And these garments were supposed to be for glory and beauty because they were going to be fitting of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just slap it together. But notice what it says. What a great statement. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Here's the Holy Spirit. Here's being filled with the Spirit. Isaiah 11:2 talks about who the Holy Spirit is. He's the Spirit of wisdom. These men were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that gave them that ability to make these garments and to make them exactly the way God had ordered them, and to do them skillfully to properly reflect our God. And you know what it's telling us? It's telling us that, you know, you play that instrument. There is a huge difference between playing it and playing it filled with the Spirit. And there's a huge difference practicing just mechanically, but practicing from your soul and learning even as you play that you're playing it for God. for God. These are sacred things. These are very, very sacred things. I know as parents, we need to instill that in our children. They are learning, have the opportunity to worship our beautiful God. What a privilege. What a privilege. And we could go on about that. You know what? There's a reason that we enjoy the music program we had. You know why? Because there were parents like me and Mrs. Roberts. Now, she is more musical than me. I can play middle C. But you know what? God's work needs good music. And we determined that our children were going to learn music. Now, some cooperate more than others. So that God work could be done. Parents need to have vision. You know why parents would have that vision? Because Jesus is beautiful. And we worship Him in song and in music. Isn't it amazing? You think about it. And I'm not trying to downplay some other thing, but I want to uplift something. You know, in the Bible, music is important. Because it's a part of the worship of God. You know what? There's a lot of things that aren't important that we spend a whole lot more time wasting our time on than something that's in the Bible that's supposed to be a part, a major part of a Christian's life, and it's a major part of a local church, a good one. It's worth the time because it's biblical. Now, we could say so many other things. We've run out of time, but I think you get the spirit of excellence. You know, sometimes we don't even have the attitude about a spirit about excellence about homework or school. You know, there's a certain brand of Christianity that, you know, schooling is something you just, you know, you get over it. You do it to get it over with so you can have the rest of the day to yourself. Really? Where did that come from? Where did that come from? That's not biblical. That's not biblical. It's a subtle form of selfishness. What about an excellence in education? It's not about getting it over with and saying we did it. How about excellence? And you could argue about that, but you know, excellence is an attitude that is to permeate everything we do. And if we think something as education that we can do any way we want it, well, that's a pretty bad message. And sometimes it carries over to other things, and it carries over to this whole idea about music. You know what? Music is hard work. You know that? Yeah, it's real hard work. Is our God worth it? Man, aren't you glad? I am. I'm glad for the people who spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours practicing. So we can have enjoy a good music in our church. It wasn't happenstance. It's on purpose, and our God is worthy of that. And it's all about Jesus. Let's close, Lord. I pray that you will use these truths to encourage our young people, encourage parents, to give parents even a bigger vision, Lord, of something that's very, very important And it has to do with our, not only our character, but it has to do with our soul and what we think of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray even now that young people would repent of having a worldly, secular view, or even a carnal view, a lazy view of the music that they have the privilege to have in their lives, but they're not using it for you. It's all about them. It's not about Jesus. And I pray for those who would even tonight would repent and surrender their life to hard work to glorify God in this very important part of their life. And even young ones, if they would get it at an early age, with heads bowed and eyes closed, what about you? Has God spoken to your heart? And you say, you know what? I've been on the wrong track, and God's speaking my heart tonight. I've been convinced. Jesus is worthy of beautiful music, and takes a lot of work, and it takes a life that matches it. And God spoke to my heart tonight about that, and I'm changing my ways about how I approach the music teaching and opportunities that I have. Okay, I see that hand. I see some others. Okay, praise the Lord. Very important. Okay, amen. Lord, you see these hands. Lord, it's great to respond. And Lord, the flesh and the devil will oppose. I pray that you'd give them that clear vision of the beauty of Jesus and what he is worth, beautiful music that befitting to him. In Jesus' name, amen.